And amen. I hope it is well with you. How are all my peeps doing out there for Daylight Saving Time Sunday? This is the Sunday that I ask specifically for you to stay wide awake and periodically throw the elbow into the rib cage of the person sitting next to you to make sure that you don't miss out on what God's Word has to say to you. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And I am so glad that we are here together today to corporately worship the one who is worthy of all of our worship. For God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. And while you're turning there today, let me just kind of recap where we've been. You know, the Lord himself told us in Acts chapter 1, he was speaking to the disciples and speaking to us. And he says, hey, listen, you're going to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and give you power. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And that was the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. And in Judea, Samaria, that was chapters 8 and 9. And then Jesus said, and even to the ends of the earth. I don't think they quite understood what that was going to look like. For when it came to Acts chapter 10, something incredible happened. Perhaps you remember, Peter was up praying. He was in a city called Joppa. And he's in a trance and sees this vision from God of a sheet being lowered down. And he sees this sheet coming down and all kinds of animals on that, clean and unclean. And the voice from heaven spoke to him and said, Peter, arise, kill and eat. And Peter, using the voice of legalism, said, hey, not so, Lord. And we don't ever say that when God tells you to do something. We don't say, hey, not so, Lord. He says, hey, I've never done anything like that and eaten anything that's unclean. And God was beginning to teach him that God, that which God has cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And God was speaking far beyond the Levitical dietary laws. He was helping Peter to understand, yeah, even the Gentiles, that which the Jews thought were common or unclean, the gospel, God's good news of salvation, is for the Jews and for the Gentiles. Peter saw this vision 3 times. He needed it to. Guys need that especially to get through to our hard head for him to clearly understand the message that God was showing him. It got to the point in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, where Peter says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, that the gospel is evidently and obviously for all peoples. God's love is for everybody, regardless of whether they live in America or China or Japan or Romania, Mexico. God's love is for all peoples. There's nobody that's too far away that the arm of God cannot reach down and save them. And this is what Peter was learning. Then they also let Peter know, hey, you're going to go and receive 3 visitors coming to the house, and they're going to take you to a man named Cornelius, and you're going to go to his household. And guess what? He's a Gentile. He's a Roman centurion, a great authority. You're going to go and you're going to speak to this Roman centurion about the gospel. And so Peter obeyed and he went. Peter would go and he would preach the gospel. He would go to Cornelius's house, and Cornelius had invited friends and family because he knew this was a significant event. And he gathered them in the house. Peter came, he preached the gospel. And as he preached the gospel, they believed and were saved. Now, listen, this was very controversial. Listen, this was unbelievable that the Jews were going, hey, these uncircumcised Gentiles. And so controversial news travels very fast. And it traveled ahead of Peter. Now, Peter was ready to head on back out of Caesarea, back now to Judah and Jerusalem. But the news traveled faster than Peter did. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible says this. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea, they had heard, guess what they heard? That the Gentiles had also received what? The Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? The Word of God, man, it's not contained to Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judah. Hey, it's going, it's spreading to the ends of the earth. And how many of you know that the Word of God is the hope of the nations? The gospel, the Word of God, God's able to transform. He says about His Word, is not my Word like a fire? Is not my Word like a hammer breaking down the strongholds? The Word of God is able to liberate and to set men free, to give us truth. It's a revelation about God Himself. And the Word of God was spreading. And now the Jews that were in Jerusalem and Judah, hey, they had heard in advance of Peter's arrival that the Gentiles, that's those who are not Jews, the Gentiles also had received the Word of God. Now, verse 2, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision. Now, I want you to see we've got the apostles and the brethren, and there's a group there called the circumcision. Now, these were Jewish Christians, and they were somewhat unhappy at the report that the Gentiles were being saved without ritual induction into Judaism. Hey, how can they be saved? They got to become Jewish. They have to be circumcised. And you know what? In our religious life today, we, if we're not careful, do the same thing. Hey, they can't be saved unless they become Baptist or Catholic or Methodist. Or they can't be saved unless they're baptized and do these certain things, that these religious activities, rituals and ceremonies, and observe certain traditions. Hey, faith alone in Christ alone is sufficient. It's faith in Christ plus nothing else that equals salvation. Don't try to impose religion and that which binds up in legalism to the freedom of the gospel. And Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision. They contended, they kind of argued, they debated, they wrestled with him, saying, Peter, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them, you're hanging out with them, they're unclean, they're common. This is not for them. And Peter's thinking, you know, if you'd asked me or said this to me about a month ago, maybe I might have tended to agree with you. But God has been showing me, God has been teaching me that, wait a second, this gospel, the Word of God is for everybody. So Peter's going to give a defense of the faith and explain what God has been showing. Now, we need to really listen to this. Because he's about to tell the story that's already been told twice. This is the third time the story's being told. Why do you think he's going to go back and tell this? Why do you think God put this in the scripture? Third time telling the story about what happened with Peter and Cornelius. Because we're just like Peter. We need to sink this in and connect the dots. I don't know of any other place in scripture where a story is told three times, back to back to back. This is obviously very significant that we understand that the importance of the gospel, it is of an essential and urgent matter. And it is for everybody. There's one God, one gospel, one Messiah, and it's for every single human, wherever they live, whenever they live. God's grace is sufficient. And it is needed by all. And so Peter, now I want you to picture, there's this group, he's gathered together now with the brethren and the apostles and this group called the circumcision. They're gathered, and Peter's going to explain this to them. And it says in verse 4, Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying to them, all right, here's the deal. I was in the city of Joppa, and I was praying, and I was in a trance, and I saw a vision. And there was an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me. I want you to be sensitive that Peter's simply recounting his testimony about what happened. He says, I was in the city praying. I saw a vision. It came to me. Listen to me. Nobody can take away your personal testimony. Nobody can steal that from you. What God has taught you, what God has shown you in His Word and your relationship with God. Nobody can take that. Peter's just saying, hey, I don't, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. This is true. This is what's happened to me. And he goes on to say, now, when I observed it intently, he was studying this. He was serious about this. When I observed it intently and when I considered, gave it thought, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And then I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord. This is the language of legalism. He goes on to say, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. I've observed the law. He's trying to rely on his good works. He's not connecting the dots of what God wants to teach him. He says, but the voice answered me again from heaven and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Again, story's been told three times. He's trying to explain to Peter. He's not talking about the Levitical dietary laws. He's talking about the salvation of the Gentiles. And they're not common or unclean. God has cleansed them through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now this was done three times, Peter says. And all were then drawn up into heaven. And at that very moment, these three men that Cornelius sent, two of his servants, one of the soldiers, one of the Roman soldiers, they were sent by Cornelius. They came to the house at that moment. Three men stood before the house where I was, and having been sent to me from Caesarea, that's the city in which Cornelius lived, they were sent by Cornelius. And when that happened, Peter goes on to explain in verse 12, then the Spirit told me, go with them, doubting nothing. In other words, Peter, this is from God. I want you to trust it. I want you to pay attention, and I want you to obey. And Peter did. And Peter would look around to the group that was standing in front of him, and he'd say, hey, and moreover, these six messianic believers, these Jewish believers, these six guys, they went with me. You can ask them. They accompanied me, and we entered into Cornelius's house. Man, I looked around, and it was a nice house, and there was a whole lot of people there. And Cornelius told us when we got there of how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And watch this. The angel said, and Cornelius believed. Cornelius, man, God was working in his life at the same time that he was working in Peter's life to bring this event to pass. And the angel says, man, send after Peter and bring him in. Verse 14, and he will tell you words. Peter will tell you words for which you and all your household will be saved. The context of the conversation, the whole purpose of this gathering was so that they would sit down and listen and hear the words or the message from Peter that would teach them God's plan of salvation, how they might be saved. Now let me ask you a question. Did Cornelius and his household, did they need to be saved? I mean, the Bible had already said that he was a man who had reverence for God and that he was a generous man who gave of his alms. He gave generously to good causes. Did Cornelius need to be saved? Did his household need to be saved? Why? Why? He's a good guy. Isn't, you know, the world that we live in says, hey, I'm doing the best I can. I'm raising my kids the best I can. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. And by all outward appearances, man, Cornelius is a good guy. Why are you telling me that he needs to be saved? Somebody said, because he's a sinner too. You know, that's a fact. But he's a good guy. Maybe someone over there says, man, I represent the poor. I'm a doctor. I help people. And those are good things, but you still need a Savior. I'm a teacher. I work with kids. I work with needy kids. I help the poor. Those are good things, but you still need to be saved, because the Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin separates us from a holy God. And there's condemnation and a penalty associated with that sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You say, well, as long as he does more good than bad, God's going to kind of forget about his sin. No, that's not how it is, because if you've violated and broken just one law, the book of James teaches us that you're guilty of breaking all the law, and the penalty is eternal separation, condemnation, death. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, they will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. You see, Cornelius's religion, his good behavior, and his good works were all nice things, but they didn't deal with his sin problem. He and his household needed a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. And so, I want you to remember that when Peter showed up at Cornelius's house, Peter didn't sit down and say, hey, listen, you're okay, I'm okay, and just try to do a little bit better. You know, the gospel is not a self-esteem, feel-better kind of thing. It's not trying to make good men better. It's trying to make dead men come to life through faith in Christ. And if you have put your faith in Christ alone, I tell you, based on the authority of God's word, you've been saved and your sins have been forgiven. And so Peter sits down and he says, okay, the angel said, I'm going to come and give you God's word. Then I'll indeed give you God's word. I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm going to tell you the truth. And that truth is still going out in the world today. And this is the truth that Peter explained by way of review in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. He said, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is God the Son. He is God incarnate, took on human flesh, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He goes on to say in verse 39, and he was crucified, killed by hanging on a cross or hanging on a tree. He died as a substitute in your place. Christ died for you. And he was raised again on the third day. He conquered sin and Satan and death. And if you're in Christ, you too shall live again. You shall always live and have eternal life if you are in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, God commanded us to go and tell everybody. That's true for everyone in this room if you're a believer. And he goes on in verse 43, Peter talking to Cornelius and the family that had gathered there. He says, about this Jesus, all the prophets witnessed that through him, through his name, whoever believes in him will have forgiveness of sin. It did not say whoever is Baptist. It didn't say whoever's Catholic. It doesn't say whoever gives generously or sparingly. It doesn't say if you're a good person or not a good person. It only says, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you rejected him, or have you received and put your faith in his completed work on the cross of Calvary? That's all it's coming down to. The Bible says he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have the Son? Today, do you have the Son? When did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember the day or that time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ? And at this moment, as Peter preaches the gospel, he says, and man, while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon those. They believed, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were saved. Now, Peter goes back in our text here today. He's recounting this story. Verse 15 of chapter 11. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us, in the same way. Are you telling me, Peter, that you told them about Jesus, the Messiah, the same Jesus we've believed in? Peter said, yep. And they believed in Christ the same way we believed in Christ? Yep. And you remember back on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon us and we spoke in languages? Peter said, yep, that's exactly what happened with them. He says, as with us, it happened to them just like it was upon us at the beginning. And the Holy Spirit confirmed that. That time, Peter is connecting the dots, and I hope we connect the dots here today because this is so important. Verse 16, he says, then I remembered the word of the Lord, what Jesus had been saying. I remembered how he said that John baptized with water, but that wasn't salvific. That didn't save us. But that he, Jesus, would baptize with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It's right here. Don't you remember he says, hey, Peter's going to come and give you the words by which you can be saved. He preached the words and they got saved. And when they got saved, when they put their faith in Christ, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That simply means that the Holy Spirit has been placed into them, deposited into them the moment that they put their faith in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about this. He says, and when you put your faith, when you believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit was deposited into you, guaranteeing your inheritance. It was the seal of your faith, guaranteeing your inheritance. It was God's down payment, and now the Holy Spirit abides and resides in believers today, those who have put their faith in Christ. And so Peter now is connecting this. They've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they've been saved. In other words, their name has been written in the book of life. Their sins have been forgiven. Jesus is their Savior. They've trusted Him by faith. Nothing else to add to that. Now, verse 17 is Peter's conclusion of this matter. And he's going to conclude this defense of what took place in front of his peers. And he says, now, if therefore God gave the Gentiles the same gift, God's gospel of grace, a gift to the Gentiles. If he gave them this amazing gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, the same gift that he gave us as Jews when we did what? Believed. When we believed, we got saved. When they believed, they got saved. And if therefore God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then who was I that I could withstand God? In other words, for me to contend with this and say that salvation is not for the nations, I would be opposing God. I would be rejecting the message of God. Who was I that I would withstand the plan and the purposes of God? Now, after that, I kind of feel like Peter just said, that's it. Now, do you want to oppose the plan of God? You want to sit there and say that, no, the gospel's not for the people in China. The gospel's not for the people in Ukraine. The gospel's not for the people in Romania or Mexico, anywhere around this planet. No, the gospel, God's love and his grace, his mercy, is for all the peoples of the world, but only through Jesus Christ, the one true and living God who died on the cross for our sins. And now, their response, how would they respond? And when they heard these things, they became silent. And I think that's okay. In other words, this is a very heavy matter that's being decided right now. They need to think about their training in the Hebrew Scriptures and making sure this is consistent with what God has always spoken and revealed. They need to make sure this is something that they understand. And so they were silent. They were pondering these things. And then after hearing Peter's testimony and thinking about it, praise the Lord, they glorified God, saying, then God, has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Eternal life has now been granted to you. Now, if you and I fully understand what this means, then we would act like our favorite team just scored a touchdown. We would act like our favorite team just hit the winning three-point shot at the buzzer. You see people going crazy over a sporting event that they won't remember a year from now. You see people going crazy over winning a lottery. How much more so for you and for me when we understood that God, by His kindness and His grace and His mercy and His love and His compassion, has offered Jesus Christ, His Son, as a sacrifice for me and my sins. I don't deserve this. Does anybody in this room deserve this? Oh, no. That God, our King, would die for us? Your King died for you. This is nothing to think lightly about. And He has offered it not only to the Jews, but to all peoples. Then God has also granted salvation, repentance unto life, eternal life to all peoples. Let me ask you a question, and I need to interact with you on this. Why did the gospel and salvation go to the Gentiles? I want you to think from the scriptures. Why did the gospel, why did salvation go to the Gentiles? Somebody give me some answers. I've got four written down. Help me out. Oh my goodness. I didn't think anybody would get that answer. I saved that one for the end. He just said, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, that God sent, and let me read it for you. See, people are going, well, what about the Jews now? Because it seems like they're gone. Paul, who was a Jew, says, I say then, have the Jews stumbled that they should fall and be cut off completely? And Paul jumps up and down, stomps his feet, and he says, no, I'm a Jew too. He says, certainly not, but through their falling away to, but through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, I got to taste that in small part. My best friend in high school and college was a Jewish person. He was not a believer. He was raised in sort of a Jewish upbringing. Man, I got saved, and Gary said, what in the world has happened to you? I said, man, Jesus has turned my life upside down, right side up, whatever you want to say. And he saw the big change in my life. And I started witnessing to Gary, a Jewish person. He goes, man, that's not for me. I'm Jewish. I said, Jesus was Jewish. This is for you. This is salvation, eternal life. Even Paul would say, who was Jewish. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He was this great Jewish man. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and for the Gentile. This gospel is for you too. But Gary wouldn't get saved. I used to witness to Gary. Gary wouldn't get saved. I'd pray for Gary. Gary wouldn't get saved. I'd fast for Gary. Gary wouldn't get saved. I took Gary to church. Gary wouldn't get saved. Planted those seeds, prayed for him for a long time. Gary was the best man in my wedding when Emily and I got married. And I listened to him sing Amazing Grace at our wedding. Gary didn't get saved 3 years ago. I moved down, 3 years later, I moved down here. Gary moved to Ohio. And he called me and said, hey, I just want you to know, I got saved. Praise the Lord. So I saw in a small way that my relationship with the King of Glory provoked him to jealousy. Now, at the end of the age, on a much larger scale, and you read about it in Zechariah 14 and Romans 11, you read about it, just what he says right here, they're going to be provoked to jealousy. Great answer. Nobody in any of the other services got that. Talib, you get the prize. Jack and I are taking you to... Jack said, what? I ain't taking anybody anywhere. What else? Why else did God Because it fulfills the scriptures. Because God promised. He's been saying all along that the gospel was for the nations, not just for Israel. Israel was just supposed to be a lighthouse to the nations. God always intended that the word and the gospel would be for all the nations. So, to glorify God, to fulfill the scriptures, to provoke Israel to jealousy, and that because God wanted all the nations to worship Him, and that He does not desire that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, that all would come to Christ and believe. And the moment you believe, I tell you this, listen to me. You have the greatest treasure you could ever have. You are richer than any person on this planet. You will have the greatest joy knowing Jesus. Pursue Him with all of who you are. And teach your children to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. They may achieve much in a musical career, in sports, in academics, but they will never be so rich and so content and so satisfied as knowing the Lord their God, their Creator and their King. This is why God sent His Son. And this is the message of truth. Our children and our people are running after all these things that will not satisfy them. And drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and all these things. But I tell you, only Jesus satisfies. Jesus saves and Jesus satisfies. And so today, let us praise Him. Let us praise the Lord that salvation has come to the Gentiles. God's gracious gift, the gospel of grace, is a gift to the Gentiles. And I rejoice because I'm richer than any man on this planet. And so are you if you've put your faith in Jesus. If you've trusted Christ, you have forgiveness of sin. You have eternal life. God has been merciful. God has been gracious. God has been kind. God has been compassionate. God has demonstrated His love for you in that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. So today, rejoice. Amen? Rejoice, rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Because we have eternal life. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have the resurrection and the life. We have Jesus, the Savior of the world. Rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this good news. I cannot believe it. And I do not deserve it. Not one in this room deserves the gift of eternal life that God has granted to us as Gentiles or even Jews. But God has granted repentance unto life when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And so, Father, today in this place we worship You and we praise You and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. And let us not be silent to those who would perish apart from Christ. Lord, let us provoke this world to jealousy. Let us provoke the Jews and the Gentiles to jealousy as they see the vibrancy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would, even as You've told this story three times, Lord, would You sow it deeply into our hearts and our minds that we might not walk around as defeated people, but we would walk around as the victorious people that we are in Christ Jesus. Father, bless now, O God, this time of invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.